It's not long now since we remembered together the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ at Easter. Easter Sunday is but 10 days past. And indeed we remember these events that lie at the crossroads of history whenever we celebrate communion, as we did on Sunday evening, since we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And not only that, we've been thinking closely about these matters in recent Thursday Bible studies, because we've been studying the closing chapters of Matthew's Gospel in recent weeks. So it's in this context that I've been thinking a bit more about the crown of thorns, which the soldiers placed on the head of our dear Saviour. And so this evening I want to share some thoughts with you about the crown of thorns. I'm reading from Matthew chapter 27 and verse 27. Just a few verses that will be very familiar to you. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. Well, back in the days of Samuel, the Jews had rejected God as their king. They wanted a man to be their king. And they got first Saul, then David, then a whole host of other kings after that. But at the point of the incarnation of Christ, they no longer have a man as king of the Jews. The Jewish nation is under the Roman rule. And the Jews were even happy to proclaim, "We have no king but Caesar," even though, in fact, they despised being under that Roman rule. But God has now sent them a new king, the God-man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Christ Jesus. And the Jews rejected him once more. Nevertheless, he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And ultimately, even those Jews who rejected him at the time will acknowledge him when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So I've got three questions about the crown of thorns. First one is, what type of thorn? Second one is, why a crown of thorns? And then thirdly, what was the joy set before him? So firstly, what type of thorn? A few weeks ago at the Bible study, there was some degree of speculation about what sort of thorns were used. And many commentators have suggested it was this type, or it was that type, or some other one. And I'm sure they all think they're right. But I'm going to tell you what Mr. Spurgeon says. I will not detain you long with any guesses as to what kind of thorns he wore. According to the rabbis and the botanists, there would seem to have been from 20 to 25 different species of thorny plants growing in Palestine. But why select one thorn out of many? He bore not one grief, but all. Any and every thorn will suffice. The very dubiousness as to the peculiar species yields us instruction. It may well be that more than one kind of thorn was platted in that crown. At any rate, Sin has so thickly strewn the earth with thorns and thistles that there was no difficulty in finding the materials, even as there was no scarcity of griefs wherewith to chasten him every morning and make him a mourner all his days. People don't talk like that these days. Certainly not me. So what type of thorn? I've no idea. But secondly, why a crown of thorns? In addition to that passage from Matthew which I read earlier, the Gospels of Mark and John also record the crown of thorns, though Luke does not. John is the only one to mention the crown of thorns more than once. He mentions it first when the soldiers make the crown and put it on Jesus' head. But then secondly, in John chapter 19 and verse 5, he makes the point of saying, so Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, behold the man. Well, we're not sure what tone Pilate used. Was he mocking Jesus, or did he at this point have some genuine reverence for Christ? We do know that the Latin translation of that phrase, ecce homo, has been well used throughout Western culture. For example, it's the title of one of Friedrich Nietzsche's books. It's the title of at least one painting, in fact, more than one. The soldiers no doubt made a crown as part of their mockery of Christ, the so-called King of the Jews, as they thought. But why from thorns? That was just cruelty as far as they were concerned. I doubt that they thought of any deeper significance. They wanted to make the crown to mock him. They had to make it out of something. Thorns were cruel. That was probably as deep as their thought process went. But I do think that there is a deeper significance to the crown of thorns. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, after Adam and Eve have disobeyed God, God appears to them, and in verse 17 of Genesis 3 it says, and to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So why were thorns put into the ground? Because of sin. Adam and Eve sinned against God by partaking of the fruit of the tree that was prohibited. They fell out of their relationship that God intended because of that sin. And that sin is the reason that thorns began to grow in the ground. Christ Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, took those same thorns that came into existence because of sin, and he wore them on his head as he defeated sin, so that we wouldn't have to experience the judgment that sin deserves. On the cross, as he defeated that sin, he wore that crown. Those thorns that we brought into existence because of our sin, Jesus takes away because of his love. So what was the joy set before him? What would have gone through the mind of Jesus the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, as the soldiers mocked him and placed that crown of thorns on his head. Make a mockery of my kingship, would you? One day you'll see. You just wait. Something like that? Well, that might be how I would react. But not our blessed Saviour. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 it says that Christ, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He endured the cross and everything that went with it, the mockery and everything else. He despised the shame. And why? For the joy set before him. And what was the joy that was set before him? Was it the glory? Was it sitting at the right hand of the throne of God? Was it to be Lord of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? No, he had all those things already, from everlasting. He gave them up to come into this dark world to seek and save that which was lost. The joy set before him is none of those things. It's us. He is our joy, but we are his joy too. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So let's all be encouraged. Let's thank God for his mercy to us. Amen.
Amen.